بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما مثل الحياة الدنيا كما إن أنزلناه من السماء فاختلط به نبات الأرض مما يأكل الناس والأنعام حتى إذا أخذت الأرض زخرفها وزينت وظن أهلها أنهم قادرون عليها أتاها أمرنا ليلا أو نهارا فجعلناها حصيدا كأن لم تغن بالأمس كذلك نفصل الآيات لقوم يتفكرون صدق الله العظيم. The verses we recited today, the opening verses, it's a continuation of the discussion of the previous page. And it's amazing how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, that on the occasion of Tabuk, when the Sahaba came and donated and contributed, there was some Sahaba that didn't have. Now reflect over this here. One is you don't have, but you are heavy about it in your heart. And one is you don't have, but you feel nothing about it in your heart. One is, I didn't do a good, but I am on a guilt mission, and I'm feeling bad, and I'm rebuking and chastising and admonishing myself. That's great. And one is, I don't do, and I don't feel guilty about it. And the Quran describes the Sahaba, وَلَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ إِذَا مَا أَتَوْكَ لِتَحْمِلَهُمْ قُلْتَ لَا أَجِدُ مَا أَحْمِلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ تولوا وأعينهم تفيض من الدمع حزنا ألا يجدوا ما ينفقون. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's no reproach and guilt on those Sahaba who didn't have, and then they came to you and you also didn't have to assist them. تولوا, they leave your gathering. وأعينهم, and their eyes. تفيض من الدمع, are moist with tears. حزنا, because of the intense regret. Allah yajidu, that they don't own a dime, ma yunfiqoon, by virtue of which they can spend in the path of Allah. And there was that Sahabi Ulba radiallahu anhu, rajulun mashhurun min al ansar. It was too much for him to imagine that everybody is giving and I cannot give. And then he came out with a plan and he devised something and he brought to the light hope for anyone in this ummah that you can contribute at the time when you have absolutely nothing. And what did he say? He got up that night and he prayed to Allah and he said, Allahumma innaka amartana. Oh Allah, you've instructed us to spend in your path. وَرَغَّبْتَ فِيهِ, and you've exhorted us. ثُمَّ لَمْ تَجْعَلْ عِنْدِي مَا أَتَقَوَّى بِهِ. And then by your own choice, you haven't given me, oh Allah. But my companions, my colleagues, my friends, they will give and I cannot give. I cannot imagine how this is going to happen. وَإِنِّي أَتَصَدَّقُ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ بِكُلِّ مَظْلِمَةٍ أَصَابَنِي فِي مَالِي أَوْ جَسَدِي أَوْ عِرْضِي. Oh Allah, I don't have monetary, I don't have wealth, I don't have tangible, I don't have visible, I don't have physical money. But what I want to do is, my Allah, I am going to make a hidden contribution and a subtle donation. And that is, anyone, any Muslim who has offended me, violated me, or insulted me, or will potentially insult me, I have forgiven him for your pleasure, and that's what I donate to you, Allah. That's what I donate to you. And this hadith makes us teaches us that there is no situation in which we cannot contribute. I can do something here, and the positive effect will be elsewhere. And then the next morning, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, مَنِ الْمُتَصَدِّقُ الْبَارِحَ. Last night, who gave charity? He still didn't think the reference and the inference was to him. مَنِ الْمُتَصَدِّقُ بِعِرْضِهِ الْبَارِحَ. Who gave charity of his self-esteem and his honor and his respect? He modestly, politely stands up. He said, if I understand it, is the reference to me? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, yes. أَبْشِرْ فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَقَدْ كُتِبَتْ فِي الزَّكَاةِ الْمُتَقَبَّلَةِ. I swear by Allah, if anyone's donation enjoys acceptance, it is yours today. If anyone's donation enjoys acceptance, it is yours today. And what is it? I have forgiven. In English, I read a beautiful saying. They say, to apologize to someone doesn't necessarily mean you are wrong and the opposite party is correct, but rather it means you value the relation more than your ego. To apologize to someone doesn't equate guilt, doesn't equate confession of wrong. But rather it means you value the relation more than your ego. Brother, I ask you for maaf. Really, I'm apologizing. Leave the issues. They say that the object of an argument is progress. The object of an argument is to make progress and not to discover who's right or who's wrong. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises them. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the incident of those sahaba in Quba. Allah ta'ala says, فِيهِ رِجَالٌ يُحِبُّونَ أَن يَتَطَهَّرُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُطَّهِّرِينَ. That in Masjid Quba there is a group of people who love purity. And they are very clean by nature. And Allah loves those that are pure. Allah loves those that are pure. Now look at this here. This is so amazing. You know, Sahaba, whenever they discovered anybody had any good, they were bold enough to go to him and say, MashaAllah, you have this good quality, brother. Can you tell me how did you acquire it so that I could also effect the change in my life? They were bold enough. This was the amazing thing. Remember when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, يَدْخُلُ عَلَيْكُمْ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. The next man to walk in this gathering is a dweller of Jannah. And Sahaba said, we'll wait and see. And the Sahabi came. And obviously it was no coincidence. It was the Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As soon as the Sahabi came in, another Sahabi said, I decided in my mind ran quickly. I am going to devise a plan and I'm going to use a pretext to tell him I need to stay by your house. I need accommodation. So when he left, I said, brother, I'm looking for accommodation, man. He said, oh, please come. I got to his house. I said, you don't mind, oh, please go for it. I stayed there, spent the night. I'm observing to discover what's phenomenal, amazing about this person that Allah's Nabi had conferred the glad tidings of Jannah. So I was obviously expecting the unusual, real super performance, but nothing of that nature. Second day went by, I said, sorry, man, I still don't have my accommodation act in place. You don't mind, I'm here. No, that's fine. By the third day, he said, you know what? Now my curiosity had reached the roof. Nothing amazing in this man. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what he says is the absolute truth. You know, in that hadith, it comes that one day Sahaba says, we were with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a campaign. And there was one particular person that was moving very swift in the ranks. And he was bringing great benefit to the Muslims and the others were dying at his hands. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that man is destined for hell. And one Sahabi said, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, I realized things are going to change dramatically in the life of this person very suddenly. So I changed my whole thing. I said, I'm leaving everything. I'm just going to follow him. Kullama jalasa jalast. Every time he said, I said. He walked, I walked. But I kept my distance because I said, if Allah's Nabi has said this man is destined for hell, while the apparent is showing me that he's going to paradise, everybody is saluting his bravery. So I said, in the 11th hour, something is going to turn drastically here. I need to watch. And I'm just watching him and people are praising his valor, his enthusiasm, his charisma, his commitment to the cause. And just then a stray arrow came from the rear and hit him. And the pain became unbearable. It really became extreme, the pain upon him. And then he couldn't bear the pain. He couldn't, you know, contend with the pain. And he took out his own spear and he killed himself. And then this Sahabi was sad over what happened. But he said, oh Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is not the first time that Allah has showed us how your words are the absolute truth. And then he came to Nabi Alayhi Salaam, he said, I must tell you, when you said this was going to happen about the man, my thoughts started saying, am I hearing right? Is it the same person? Have I got this act together? So I followed him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, now narrate to everybody your initial reservation and your subsequent conviction. And tell them that I am the Nabi of Allah. And Iman is not complete until you don't trust every prophecy of mine. Iman is not complete until you don't trust every prophecy of mine. So, you know, this was the amazing thing of Sahaba that immediately they responded. So anyway, when Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, let's go to them and let's discover what they have with them. Subhanallah. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came and said, Ya ma'shar al-muhajirin, inna Allah qad athna alaykum, famaadha tasna'oon? Like, you know, I'm ready to learn. Allahu Akbar. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to visit one Sahabi who was terminally ill. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu was with him. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud read some ayat and Allah cured the man. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looked at Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah, tell me this ayat. What ayat are you reading? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu is reading and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is asking him. Oh, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, what ayat? He said, oh, Nabi of Allah, I just had this feeling to read, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. Nabi SAW said, Allah had inspired to you such ayah that if they read on a mountain, it will move also. Allah had inspired you with the correct ayah. So Nabi SAW came to them, he said, what are you people doing? He said, oh, Nabi of Allah, نَتَّبِعُ الْغَائِدَ الْأَحْجَارَ ثُمَّ نَتَّبِعُ الْأَحْجَارَ الْمَا. That when we relieve ourselves, we don't suffice on one means of purity, that is either using a lump of sand, or the equivalent would be tissue or toilet roll, etc. But we use sand, a lump of sand, and scientifically the properties in sand have this cleansing agent in it as well. So we use sand, and we follow that sand up by water. So in other words, we combine two forms of purity. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, this is what you have. And because of that, Allah has praised you. Keep up this year. This is very, very important. It's become a very sad thing that many a times when you travel, you discover that many a Muslims also unfortunately relieve themselves in a manner that is not becoming of a Muslim. To expose oneself, to stand and urinate, and then not to wash oneself. There are multiple crimes and multiple offenses that have been perpetrated in this regard. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Istanzihu min al-bawl, fa inna ammat adhab al-qabr minhu." Abstain from urine drops, because a significant portion of the adhab in the qabr will be as a result of negligence in urine drops. What did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? A significant portion of azab in the grave will be as a result of negligence with urine drops. And it also comes in another narration, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam addressed the group of Sahaba and he asked them a few questions. He said, أَتَرْضَوْنَ بِالْقَضَىٰ. Are you people contented on the decree of Allah? And they said, yes. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu used to say, it is better for you to bite on live coal till it is extinguished, then to wish that the decree of Allah in your favor was different compared to what Allah has decided. It is better for you to bite on live coal, hatta tutfa, until it extinguishes, than to wish that the decree of Allah, I wish Allah had done this for me, or arranged that for me, or decided this for me. Allah's wisdom is perfect, and one has to make peace with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided. And then Nabi SAW said, atasbiruna alal bala.
Sorry, Mana, to disturb you. There's a Toyota Corolla that's parked outside WMP610. The car is rolling onto the road. Whoever this guy is, please attend to it quickly. WMP610 GP.
أَتَصْبِرُونَ عَلَى الْبَلَاءِ. Do you persevere? They said yes. أَتَشْكُرُونَ فِي الرَّخَاءِ. Are you grateful? They said yes. Nabi SAW said, indeed, you have the true and the salient qualities of a believer. So we need to become very, very conscious about this year, and we need to become very circumspect about it. How do we conduct ourselves and how do we relieve ourselves? This is very, very important. I mean, today we recited the concluding verses of the 11 Juz. Look at the modesty of Sahaba. Look at the modesty of Sahaba. أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ يَثْنُونَ صُدُورَهُمْ لِيَسْتَخْفُوا مِنْ أَلَا حِينَ يَسْتَغْشُونَ ثِيَابَهُمْ يَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. Sahaba, in isolation, in seclusion, in his private room, and he's changing his clothing, the Sahaba would crouch down and bend down, because as they would remove their clothing to change it, they would be gripped by extreme modesty that our private area has been exposed to Allah. Our private area has been exposed to Allah. Allah then revealed the verse that there's no need to subject yourself to such stringent ruling, because ultimately, even when you cleared yourself, you cannot veil yourself from the eye of Allah. But just to speak about the extent of modesty that was found here, and today a person would come out of the shower and one hour walk around the house, you know, still looking for his clothes. 1 hour he's walking around, we've got daughters there, you've got daughter-in-laws there, you've got children there. You know, we need to realize this, and this is definitely not in keeping with the teachings of Islam. So that was the modesty that Sahaba had. Thereafter, just briefly I want to touch on one incident that we recited. لَقَدْ تَابَ اللَّهُ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ. The incident is very long, and Allah speaks about the three Sahaba. But I just want to give you an indication of the intense love that Sahaba had for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The reference is to those three Sahaba that did not participate in Tabuk. But now look at this here. Amongst them we know was Ka'b radiallahu anhu, and he said his truthfulness was a source of his rescue. He didn't participate in Tabuk, and he confesses to the fact that he had no tangible, valid excuse to exempt him. And he said, I said, I will go, falam yatamada, today, tomorrow, and they were gone. And then I said, I'll catch up, and before I knew it was too late. And when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got there, he said, we've not seen Ka'b. And someone said, oh, he's caught up in his pride. And then another sahabi said, no, he's a great man, O Nabi of Allah. I don't think he has the rights to say this. Nothing done. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came back, everybody started coming up with excuses, false pretexts. And I also started entertaining these things. In English, they say that, honesty is like surgery. It pains, but it cures. While a lie is like a painkiller. It gives you temporary relief, but the side effects will daunt you till you die. Honesty is like surgery. Obviously, it's not easy. It has its challenges. But hopefully, you will recover. While speaking a lie will temporarily rescue the crisis, a painkiller. But obviously, the problem becomes deeper and more long-term. The point I want to say is that I came to Nabi alayhi salam, and I said before him, and I said, O Nabi of Allah, if I said before anyone besides you, I have the skill to convince that man, and I have the skill to deceive that man. You know, I read a beautiful English saying that goes, oh, what a web we weave when we practice deceive. Oh, what a web we weave. What a web we weave when we practice deceive. And really this is it. The world is full of delusion and deceit. And that is why we have this wicked web that has engulfed us. But O Nabi of Allah, I know if I speak a lie, revelation will expose me. I am guilty and I admit my guilt. And he said there was this smile, but it wasn't all that a polite smile. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay. And thereafter, the boycott started. And the boycott went on for days. And it would kill me, it would burn me, it would eat me up. I would come into the masjid. تَنَكَّرَتْ لِي الْأَرْضُ فَمَا هِيَ الْأَرْضُ الَّتِي كُنْتُ أَعْرِفُهَا. He said, the very Medina in which I grew up now became strange and foreign and alien to me. This wasn't the Medina I knew. I would look around and my own people would alienate me. I would look at my friend and he would marginalize me. I would look at my colleague and he will ignore me. Hatta tasawwartu. One day I couldn't take it, so I scaled the wall of my cousin. And I nudged him and I said, do you ignore me? Do you know I love Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he said, absolutely nothing. And I said, why are you doing this to me? I made a mistake. And to add salt to injury, I'm saying the amazing thing of Sahaba was, they were so sincere that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could discipline them. But there was no fear that, no, you don't go too hard. No, you know what? Your harshness becomes too much and he leaves Islam. There wasn't this fear. Today you have to tread so cautiously. And this wasn't, I'm just not creating a scenario. This literally happened. إِذَا نَبْطِيٌّ مِّنْ أَمْبَاطِ أَهْلِ الشَّامِ. You say, I'm walking, I'm depressed, I'm sad, I'm isolated, I'm marginalized, I'm victimized. And here comes a farmer, a peasant, and he says, مَنْ يَدُلُّنِي عَلَىٰ كَعْب. Can anybody show me who's Ka'b? Can anybody show me who's Ka'b? And the earth had narrowed upon me despite. That's what the Quran said. وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. That the earth had narrowed despite its vastness. And he comes to me and he says, this is a letter from you to you addressed from the king of Ghassan. And what does the letter address? The letter says, we've been informed that your Nabi has ditched you, deserted you, and launched you. Really, you don't have to put up with this. Come to us, ilhaq bina nuwasik. We will accept you with open arms. If it was us at that time, okay, let's turn the dynamics of the scenario. So here you're having an issue at home and you get a polite SMS. Hi, how are you? Just thinking, could we have some coffee? And like she told, you know, don't come back home. How many of us can resist? How many of us can be man enough? I read a beautiful saying in the English language. Oh, it gave me a shiver in my back. They say, the solution or the formula to a happy marriage is not to wed the perfect partner, but to love the imperfect partner perfectly. The solution, this was just too much. The formula to a happy marriage is not to wed the perfect partner, but to love the imperfect partner perfectly. That's the formula. So I'm like all going through this depression. I'm going through this depression. And yeah, I get this note, come to us. If it was us, even if we didn't entertain it, but we won't muster the courage to delete that SMS. You know, I mean, delete it, just leave it, it's in my inbox, I won't worry about it. No, I will massage my ego with this. I will massage my ego. I will fantasize over this year. And I will exploit and abuse this year. He said, at that time, when my Nabi was most angry with me, when my Nabi was most angry, if a student has that love for his ustad, that in the molding of his ustad, he doesn't become bitter, اصبر على مر الجفا من معلم فإن رسوب العلم في نفراته. Persevere on the bitter comments of your tutor, your guardian, and your mentor, because in his bitter moldering is your guidance and your reformation. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَذُقْ مُرَّ التَّعَلُّمِ سَاعَةً تَجَرَّعَ ذُلَّ الْجَهْلِ طُولَ حَيَاتِهِ. And if you don't subject yourself to the guidance and the molding of a mentor or someone that could advise you, then you will have to drink the bitter drinks of ignorance for the rest of your life. He said, there was a fire burning in front of me. أَخَذْتُهَا سَجَرْتُهَا. I took that paper and I burnt it there and there so that I don't even have this to play with my ideas and my thoughts. And look at the test of Allah. Look at the test of Allah. Here comes an invitation from someone across the line that come on our side, we'll take care of you. As I was coming now for Salah, a brother phoned me. Monana, how can I advise a sister that wants to leave the fold of Islam? Now, while I was talking, Wallahi Uqsim Billah, as I was coming here, I received this call. Please advise, we're in a situation, the sister, her husband has left the fold, now she wants to leave. How do we approach her and how do we advise her? Now look at the dynamics here. Allah's Nabi is angry with me. He's boycotted me. Sahaba are not talking to me. Yeah, I'm getting a temptation coming. I was so blatant, so loud, so open. I dropped this year. So I would think that really I'm doing well to myself. And the next command comes from Allah, that now tell their wives also to leave them totally. Yeah, I show my super loyalty, my absolute commitment to the cause, hoping that there will be a reduction in the sternness of the penalty. And the next day what comes? They tell them to now move away from their wives. Again, my two colleagues were old and aged, so one of them intervened and said, O Nabi of Allah, my husband needs assistance, can I go? Nabi Sassam said, as long as you don't have conjugal relation, he says he's too old to have that. He said, okay, fine. So many of them came to me and said, why don't you also ask your wife to make an excuse that you also... He said, no, I'm young, why must I lie? I can't take care of myself. And he said, it carried on like this. Hatta kamula lana khamsuna layla. The 50 nights, the longest 50 nights of my life. And then that morning, I prayed Fajr Salah on the roof because I was a loner. I prayed Fajr Salah. All I'm saying is that this was the commitment of Sahaba. Allah's Nabi could put the most bitter things on them, but in that they became who they became. That is why one day Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was sitting with Sahaba. Imam Bukhari makes mention of it in Tariq al-Saghir. And then he said, Tamanno. Okay, come, let's make our desires. Express. Today you ask a man, express his desires by? You rather don't express it. The respect I had, I'll lose it. I told you that the dream of every man. I wish I was as rich as my child thinks. I was as handsome as my mother believes. And I had as many women as my wife suspects. The dream of every man. I wish I was as rich as my child thinks, as handsome as my mother believes. My mother, oh, my son. I was as handsome as my mother thinks, and I had as many women as my wife suspects. But look at this rich discussion. The whole masjid is buzzing. Umar said, express your desires. فَقَالَ أَحَدُهُمْ أَتَمَنَّى أَن يَكُونَ مِلْأَ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ ذَهَبًا فَأُنْفِقُهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. I wish this whole room was full of gold and I own it, not for the sake of owning it, own it so that I could give it in Allah's path. You know, one brother told me, make dua, I can sign a 50 million pound check in my hand, don't shake. Okay. What do you mean, brother? He said, make dua, Malana, that day comes. That I can sign and my hand don't shake. So, what's it? Okay, then what? You make a desire. He said, "Atamanna an yakuna mil ahadil bayt fidda." I wish this whole room was full of silver and I could give it in the path of Allah. And each one expressed their desires. Then they said, "Oh Umar, you tell us, what's your desire?" He said, "Atamanna an yakuna mil ahadil bayt rijalan, mithla Abi Ubaida, wa Mu'adh ibn Jabal, wa Hudhayfah ibn al-Yaman, fa astamiluhum fi ta'atillahi wa ta'ati rasulihi." I wish this whole room was full of Mu'adh ibn Jabals. I wish this whole room had Huzaifa ibn Yaman's. And I wish this whole room had Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah. And then I could just delegate them to the different continents. And I knew every one of them had what it takes to rescue a continent. Then he said, I'll tell you what I'm saying. He said, take this money and go give it to him. Go give it to him. So he gave a chunk of money. When he went to him, to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, he said, Umar gave this. He said, please do me a favor, help me, we distribute it together. He said, he gave it for you. You don't want to count it. He said, come please, man, help me, I just have to do it myself. He said, I distributed it. I went back to him. I said, Umar, your vision was spot on the man. He didn't default by an inch. He said, wait, I'll send you to Mu'adh ibn Jabal now. He then gave me a chunk of money to every Sahabi, and not one of them counted it, leave alone showing excitement about it. He said, now you know why I said, I don't want gold and silver, and I want this room full of people like this. This was their vision. He said, 50 nights had lapsed. I got onto the roof. And then I heard the glad tidings. Somebody came and said, Abshir ya Ka'b. And this is deep words. Ka'b, glad tidings. Bi khayri yawmin marra alayka mundu waladatka ummuk. Ka'b, I would like to inform you and congratulate you of the greatest day that has ever come in your life since the day you are born. فَخَرَرْتُ سَاجِدًا, I fell into sajda, and I realized the good news came. You know, if it was us, it took a long time, man. But anyway, Allah shukr, whatever, Allah knows best. No, man, my Allah, you've given me, I don't deserve it. I was alienated, I was marginalized, my wife was taken, my Nabi didn't look at me, my cousins had shunned me. But after it came, he said, I came running, and I told that Sahabi, because this was how they would give a token of acknowledgement to the one who brought the good news. He said, I only own this cloth that I'm wearing, but I give this to you in acknowledgement for the good news you gave me, but I borrow it back from you because I don't have anything else to wear. Allahu Akbar. فَاسْتَعَرْتُ ثَوْبَيْنِ. I then borrowed the same two pieces of cloth because I had nothing else to wear. I had absolutely nothing else to wear. And then I came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I said, مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ. Is this glad tidings from you or from Allah? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is direct from Allah. This is direct from Allah. You know, this was the thing, the greatest thing. Sulaiman ibn Abdul Malik, he was a great king, he was a great ruler, he had a lot of wealth, he had the economic muscle and everything. So Hakim, Abu Hazim rahmatullah alayhi, Salma ibn Dinar, he was a great scholar. So one day Salma ibn Dinar went to visit him, and then, you know, he asked him a lot of questions. So then the king told him, express your desire, naqdhiha laka mahma kanat. A king asking you, he has everything. And he says, ask whatever you want. There was no like emotions on his face. He said, please, I mean what I say. Say what you want and I will fulfill it. He said, حاجتي أن تنقذني من النار وتدخلني الجنة. My request is, get me into Jannah and save me from hell. So the king said, ذلك ليس من شأني. I'm afraid that's outside my jurisdiction. So Salma ibn Dinar said, ما لي حاجة سواها. Now, I don't have any other request. You say, I must tell you what I want. That's all what I want. I don't have any other request. That's all what I want. So this was the amazing thing of Sahaba. This was the commitment of Sahaba. Then just one, two ayat, and then I will wrap up, inshallah. We then did there in Surah Yunus, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of the transitory nature of this world and the temporary abode. إنما مثل الحياة الدنيا كما إن أنزلناه من السماء فاختلط به نبات الأرض مما يأكل الناس والأنعام حتى إذا أخذت الأرض زخرفها وزينت وظن أهلها أنهم قادرون عليها. Allah says this world many places in the Quran. Remember, the description of Allah is the most apt because Allah created it. It's like a garden. The rain came down, the seeds grew, the garden flourished and blossomed. The tiller and the farmer was impressed and he said, this is really beautiful. وَزَيَّنَتْ, it became beautiful. Now these are the points to reflect. وَضَنَّ أَهْلُهَا أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهَا. And the farmer said, it's time to harvest the crops and extend the implications. The minister thought he's going to be sworn into office. And the student said, tomorrow is my graduation ceremony. And the student said, it's my awards evening. And the president said that he will be inaugurated. And I said that tomorrow they will give me the keys. Allah says, respectively, everyone felt that now the reins will be transferred into his hands. أَتَاهَا أَمْرُنَا لَيْلًا أَوْ نَهَارًا. And that night I had decreed the death of that very person. I had decreed the destruction of that farm, that empire. فَجَعَلْنَاهَا حَصِيدًا كَأَنْ لَمْ تَغْنَ بِالْأَمْسِ. I destroy it in a manner as if it never existed. That is why the scholars have given an amazing explanation, zuhud. Zuhud means disinclination. But someone said it very beautifully. He said, to disincline doesn't mean you mustn't possess the world, but rather it means the world mustn't possess you. This inclination of the world, today, how is our mind? Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, سَهِرَتْ عُيُونٌ وَنَامَتْ عُيُونُ فِي أُمُورٍ تَكُونُ أَوْ لَا تَكُونُ. Some eyes are sleeping and others cannot sleep. Why? What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen with the markets? What's going to happen with the currency? In English, they say, worrying about tomorrow won't avert the misery of tomorrow, but will surely avert the joy of today. Worrying about tomorrow will not empty tomorrow of its grief, but will empty today of its happiness. And that's really what has happened. My mind is racing and my thoughts are playing with me and nothing happens. So what does the Quran say? Allah Ta'ala destroys it completely and there is absolutely nothing left. One other verse and then I will conclude inshallah. And that is Fir'aun. Remember, in Fir'aun had health, he had an empire, he had a dynasty, he had a kingdom. I read, the scholars say that for 4 centuries he never had a headache. For 4 centuries, because obviously people used to live back in the years. In fact, one narration someone have mentioned that in Qawm Aad, because they used to live for over 1,000 years, the child used to get baligh over the age of 200. Over the age of 200 years, some people are grandfathers at 40. And back in the time, people were becoming baligh at the age of 200, because obviously they were living for over 1,000 years. Sayyidina Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's dawood period was 950, that wasn't his lifespan. So anyway, the point I want to say is, كُلُّ دَارٍ وَإِن طَالَتْ سَلَامَتُهَا يَوْمًا سَتُدْرِكُهَا النَّكْبَاءُ وَالْحُوَبُ. The Arabic poet said, every home, every young man, every empire, regardless of how prolonged its prosperity is, but destruction will plague it one day. It has to end. My youth has to end. My empire has to crumble. My wealth has to collapse. My home has to come to an end. This is the harsh reality. So Fir'aun had this pride, this arrogance, and he ruled, and he had this arrogance and everything. But finally, the day came. It came at some point. And that which he had never uttered in his whole life once. Musa alayhi salam said, say Allah is one. He said, no. In fact, he made the claim that he is the supreme being. But when drowning overpowered him, just to put this into perspective, when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was crossing the river Nile, and Allah told him, cross. And he crossed the water. And like one scholar said it very beautifully, this was the very water in which he was placed in a basket as a baby. The water didn't have the authority to drown him as a baby. Where was this water going to drown him as a Nabi? But it was the command of Allah according to the view that it was the same water. So anyway, he crossed the water and his army crossed. And then he wanted to strike the water again. When he crosses the water and the water opens up, this is arrogance. This is arrogance. May Allah save me from it. It's easy for me to talk. It's easy for me to talk, but really, you know, when we look into ourselves, Imam Ghazali said, فَإِعْتِقَادُكَ أَنَّكَ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ غَيْرِكَ جَهْلٌ مَحْظٌ. The perception that you're better than anyone is blatant arrogance. The perception that you're better, and then he gives you few basic examples. He said, when you look at a child, then you say, oh, this boy, what, he never read one tarawih in his life. How can he be better than me? He said, no, you must look at him and he say, هَذَا لَمْ يَعْصِ اللَّهِ وَأَنَا عَصَيْتُ اللَّهِ فَلَا شَكَّ أَنَّهُ خَيْرٌ مِّنِّي. This boy has never sinned, so obviously he's better than me. And when you look at an adult, someone older than you, you must say, عَبَدَ اللَّهَ قَبْلِي. This man has been performing salah and fasting before I was born, so obviously he's better than me. And when you look at a learned person, you must say, هَذَا عَلِمَ مَا لَمْ أَعْلَمْ وَبَلَغَ مَا لَمْ أَبْلُغُ فَكَيْفَ أَكُونُ مِثْلَهُ. Allah has given him the whole Quran. Allah has given him hadith. I don't have one hadith. How can I even, it's an insult for me to endeavor to compare the two of us. And when you look at an ignorant person or a sinful person, you must say, هَذَا عَصَى اللَّهَ بِجَهْلٍ وَأَنَا عَصَيْتُ اللَّهَ بِعِلْمٍ فَحُجَّةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيَّ أَكْبَرُ وَمَا أَدْرِي بِمَا يُخْتَمُ لِي وَبِمَا يُخْتَمُ لَهُ. This man has disobeyed Allah. I guess he knows no better. I know it and I'm disobeying Allah. So Allah's evidence on me will be more severe. When the waters open, he tells his people, now his moments before his death, he says, أُنْذُرُوا إِلَى الْبَحْرِ كَيْفَ انْفَلَقَ طَوْعًا لِأَمْرِي حَتَّى أَخُذَ هَؤُلَاءِ الْفَارِّينَ. The water is basically just doing what it has to do out of my awe and respect. He knows my empire comes and I have signaled it in advance. And this is but one of my common miracles. This is it, when the heart is blocked up, you see a miracle with the eye and you attribute it to yourself. And then he goes into the water and the Quran said, and this is what I want to, you know, leave you with to think about. حتى إذا أدركه الغرق قال آمنت أنه لا إله إلا الذي آمنت به بنو إسرائيل وأنا من المسلمين. He showed arrogance, he was obstinate, he declined, he was raw. But when the waters gripped him and drowning overpowered him and he seen this whole empire crumbling, he now brought iman on Allah like no one ever brought in history. In one breath, he recited the kalima three times. In one breath, he recited the kalima three times. He said, Amantu, I bring iman on Allah. La ilaha illa alladhi amanat bihi banu Israel. Surely there is no deity but the Lord of the Israelites. Wa ana min al muslimin, with certainty I am amongst those that submit to Allah. And he was given such an extended period, but his day had to come also. The Quran said, Al-an waqad asayta qablu wa kunta min al mufsidin. It took you long for this reality to dawn upon you. It's now too late and your tawbah will not be accepted. Nabi alayhi salam said, Inna Allaha yaqbilu tawbata al-abd ma lam yugharghir. Allah will accept the repentance of a servant provided he's not in the throes of death. I leave you with a saying, I just read it yesterday. And the same ayah, I tie it up. Yesterday when I was flying back from Australia, and then obviously, you know, the concession of fasting is there. And then I said, no, let me fast, inshallah. And Allah made it possible and easy. And when you get to Maghrib, there's a sense of, oh, it's just good that I kept the fast. And it's good that I didn't opt for the concession as much. It's permissible. And then I had a thought in my mind. I said, Allah made it possible to fast. And I'm happy that I fasted and the day has ended and the sun has set. Imagine when the life is going to end. Then how I will wish I had just obeyed Allah. The life is over now. Whether I indulged or I obeyed, it is over. That's it. The day ended and now there's a sense of joy that I observed the fast. Because even if I didn't fast, you know, the day has still lapsed. So it hit me hard and I said, imagine what's going to be my regret. What's going to be my regret that Allah, when the angel of death comes to knock my door and I know I'm in the last moment and now I wish I had obeyed Allah. And this was the saying that I read. I read it yesterday while I was flying and it really hit me. Someone said it. And you know, as life moves on and we mature, we need to change our outlook to life. He who views the world at 50 in the same manner as he viewed it when he was 20, has surely wasted 30 years of his life. He who views the world at 50, in the same manner as he viewed it at 20, has surely wasted 30 years of his life. May Allah grant us the tawfiq that we prepare for our death, inshallah.
Buy Islamic media, CDs, CD-ROMs, MP3s, and DVDs at SoakIslam.com. Secure online shopping available 24 hours a day. That's SoakIslam. SOUKISLAM.com.